Anthony Santander, welcome to the Toronto Blue Jays. Good afternoon, everybody. It is Monday, January 20th, and welcome to an emergency episode of Buds and Blue Jays. Jesse Burrell, Jesse Tricio here, and Jesse, the Blue Jays finally got somebody to take our money for us. And the big breaking news of the day is Anthony Santander is in agreement to a contract. I believe it's 5 years, $92.5 million. There's an opt-out in there. There's a potential club option in there, and so much more. But the Blue Jays finally have added a bat to our lineup. I'm thrilled, Jesse. How are you feeling about this, my guy? I bet you, you've got to be excited here, too.
Oh, I'm definitely excited. I'm happy that we finally did, weren't the bridesmaid. We were finally the bride and finally got that gold medal that we've been coveting all the last two off seasons. And also for this show, like, what a birthday gift for this channel right now. Like, it is our birthday as a channel, and we get a gift like this. Can't go better. All we need is a nice Pete Alonso sign, but maybe we'll talk about that later or our next episode.
3 years ago today, we dropped our very first episode, and it's like the Blue Jays and Anthony Santander know. It's a great birthday present for us getting Anthony Santander under the tree. We are very, very excited for this. But Jesse, let's just dive right in to what we're getting here. Anthony Santander, big guy, known power, switch hitter, 44 home runs last year for the Baltimore Orioles. We saw him a few times. I think he took Ryan Yarbrough deep at one point. I know he took Jose Berríos into like what felt like the fifth deck. Hit went all the way to Scarborough, it felt like. We've seen this guy in our division for years. I think we know what Anthony Santander is like. It is going to be so good to have him on our side of the field now instead of across the way.
Oh, definitely. And especially, too, knowing him that we have a good friend of his, too, on our team, and Andreas Jimenez. So it's like, It was just made to, like, he has a friend here, and, like, yeah, Vladdy for this season until we extend him. And possibly even bigger moves. Like, it's going to be exciting to not have to fear him in the AL East, but have him put the fear.
Mm-hmm. It'll be great. The Blue Jays, actually, I don't think ever in franchise history have gone out and signed a player who hit 40-plus home runs the year prior. Like, I know when we signed, like, Troy Glossy at 30-something, and I know Frank Thomas when he came here hit 39, but never in franchise history have we gone out and have acquired a player who had hit 40 or more home runs the season prior. Let's dive into a little bit about what we're expecting from Anthony Santander here at Jesse. The big tool, obviously, the power, is so real. The Blue Jays desperately needed a guy who could hit from power. I think Vladdy was the only person to hit 30 home runs, and I don't think anyone got to 20 or more home runs last year. Maybe Springer. It was close. But yeah, either way, the lack of home runs this team didn't get last year was desperately, desperately needed. And that low-hanging fruit that Ross Atkins talked about early in the season, he finally went and he grabbed one. So happy for that. And it'll be good to see some big flies come out of the Rogers Center now.
Well, definitely. And finally give Vladdy some protection that actually can cause, like, make them either choose, do we pitch to Vladdy or do we pitch to Santander now, instead of being like, oh, you don't have to pitch to Vladdy. We have Kirk behind him who will just hit it into a double play.
Right. So this means Santander, I think we all agree, but he is likely our cleanup hitter, right? Hitting behind Vlad in this order?
Oh, definitely. Like, unless we make another move, like bringing Pete Alonso or even making a trade for, say, like a Luis Robert or like one of those big power guys within the MLB, it's the fourth spot for Santander or nothing else.
Okay, I like that too. If you look at the under-the-hood stuff for Anthony Santander, you might think he got a little bit lucky with the bat. Like, 44 home runs is hard to do, right? The Blue Jays haven't had a ton of them. I think we've had three since in the last 25 years of guys who hit 44 home runs. A lot of the StatCast stuff say he should have hit more likely around 30 to 35 home runs, and he really gets his power by hitting the ball in the air to the pole side, which is something we've been screaming at the Toronto Blue Jays to do since Marcus Semien left in 2021. Anthony Santander is good at that. And I don't want you to forget, too, that David Popkins, our new hitting coach, has been very, very good at maximizing this type of swing plane. Like the Dalton Varsho hit the ball in the air to the pole side, what the Anthony Santander is going to do. So I think that is a very good match made in heaven, which gives me hope that Anthony Santander can at least get to that mid 30 in home run total again going into next year.
Oh, definitely. I feel like with him and Vlad this year could be possibly like what we had in the in 2015-16, and that when we had Edwin and Jose in their prime, and just like you pitch one of them, you can get punished. If you only pitch one of them, you'll get punished either way. Or if you decide to pitch both, it'll be like either two solo shots or like a multi-run home run plus a solo shot. Like, there's a lot of fear that it will have in the middle of the order for the first time in years.
I don't want to discredit to what having a good offensive power bat can do for your pitching staff too. You'll remember there was a lot of cases last season when Chris Bassitt would talk about our team's just not going to score a ton of runs. I feel like I need to be perfect. If Anthony Santander can walk up there, hit you a 3-run home run in the first inning, next thing you know, our pitchers can cruise and they can coast a little bit, and it'll be less stressful innings on what is an aging pitching staff too. So I do think that is correlated as well, and it could be good things. It's not really breaking news to be like, hey, good team signs good player, team gets better. But that's really what happened here with Anthony Santander.
No, definitely. And like also maybe put a little bit less pressure on our bullpen, our blowpen, coming like in the later innings. If, say, Santander has a 3-run home run in the seventh, gives us that 3-run lead, maybe it'll help us preserve Hoffman, our big back end of the bullpen guys, where we can now put in like more middle, like low leverage relievers to close out the game, some of our big guys, and save the innings when it matters.
Absolutely. It is a great recipe in theory of what we're going to get here from Anthony Santander. I do love that quite a bit. There is some, I guess, reasons for concern, I suppose, underneath the hood for Anthony Santander. He is 30 years old. We did just lock him up for 5, maybe even 6 seasons here, so we're going to be paying this guy into his age 35 or 36 season. And there is some things like, if the power does go away, there is not going to be much going forward. So like the decline, like the downside, or what Anthony Santander might look like in 4 or 5 years might not be good. However, like, this is just the cost of acquiring players. Even if, you know, the 30 home runs turns into 20 home runs by 2028 or 2029, and he turns into like Kendrys Morales 2.0. Like, you deal with that in 2028, in 2029. Like, at least for the first few years of this contract, I don't think there's any reason to expect that power is going anywhere.
No, exactly. Like, that's the worst case scenario, is like Morales 2.0. But then again, that could be near the latter stage of his contract, kind of like what we're doing with Springer right now.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to look at some of the StatCasty stuff for Anthony Santander, his swing speed would have been 3rd on the Blue Jays last year, behind only Vlad and Addison Barger. His average exit velocity would have been 2nd on the team, behind only Vlad. And his max exit velocity, how hard you can purely hit the baseball, 2nd on the team, behind, you guessed it, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. He is a very, very real power bat. And I brought this up to you before the show, Jesse. Like, I remember Anthony Santander hitting absolute bombs into foul territory. Like, I'm pretty sure he put one into the 5th deck one time, foul at Rogers Center. Like, nobody does that other than Anthony Santander. So it's going to be a treat for him to watch. I'm thoroughly excited now after being so miserable with this team after losing out on Sasaki. I'm just glad finally there is something in place and this team should be better.
Oh, no, definitely. And, like, thinking about it, too, when it comes to being a switch hitter, they can't just put in a lefty to face him, because he can go to the right side or vice versa. Like, that gives us, more versatility as well. Like, if you look at Santander being a switch hitter, we have other switch hitters, you know, 4 switch hitters within that could be on our opening day roster. That gives a lot of, like, versatility without, like, for the Jays, where it makes it more difficult for like other teams to freaking game plan against us.
Yeah, and if anything, that makes John Schneider's job a lot easier too, when you can pencil this guy into your lineup. I'm excited to see what he has to say about this, what Ross Atkins has to say about this as well going forward. But Jesse, we're sold on the bat, going to be a very good high-impact piece. Where does he play? What's his position going into the 2025 season?
I feel like his 2 primary positions would probably be left and DH, and maybe some time in right, depending if we want to give, say, Springer some days off on his feet, because, and put him at DH. Like, I feel like those, like, the 2 corners in DH will be where he is, and in a pinch possibly first, but I don't really think he has many innings at first, if I'm correct.
So last season with Baltimore, he was the DH 25 times. He played first base one time, and he played in right field 130 games. He didn't play in left field at all last year in Baltimore, but they also had, you know, Colton Cowser, a big rangier field down in Baltimore where you probably need a better defender. So they hit him in right. I think a lot of people agree with you that he'll likely play left field for the Blue Jays. Maybe he'll be a primary DH, at least as things stand right now. I would almost argue the best move for the Blue Jays would be to put Santander into right field. See if you can get George Springer to shift to left field, or maybe even be like a primary DH until we sign somebody else right there. Because even though Anthony Santander does not have a good arm, does not have a good range, doesn't run too well, I do think he might be a better defender, especially over the next course of the next two seasons, than George Springer will be, because he really fell off a cliff this last season. So I think that should be a move the Blue Jays should look towards doing, is putting him in right field. But I think I agree with you, Jesse. If the fit is there in left field, he'll probably go there. But I'm curious to see what John Schneider says about this.
Oh, definitely. I think it should be interesting because, again, well, things we think are obvious, Schneider tends and Atkins tend not to do. So
you're right.
We'll find. Watch. They'll probably put him at third base just because they can. But rather than not, no,
but they won't.
But like knowing, but like again, or they'll put Springer back in center until Varsho's back. Which again, I don't hate it, but I don't think it's the smartest move.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Let's talk about then how the Santander signing affects the rest of the roster here. Like, I think the biggest loser on the team currently after this signing is probably like your Davis Schneider type, your Nathan Lucas type, the guy who is probably like maybe even Joey Loperfido, like the guy who is probably going to see quite a bit of time in the outfield this year. You could also argue that, say, Will Wagner is a big loser here because the two spots Will Wagner was going to get at bats mostly were second base, which we filled in the Andrés Giménez trade. And then he was probably going to get a lot of DH at bats. But if you're putting Santander in the outfield, like, sure, he could play left and you could keep Springer in right. But I think this means you're going to have more DH days for Santander, for George Springer. I think Will Wagner is a big loser of this signing as well. Jesse, do you have a thought, or maybe your own guy who suffers a bit from the Santander signing?
Oh, definitely. I can definitely see the like Wagner suffering, and again, like Schneider, Loperfino, Lucas, even Klaus A all will suffer because of this signing.
Yeah,
but then again, like if we definitely down the depth chart. But now you mentioned like thinking about the DH, maybe he'll be the everyday DH, and so we can get the Loperfino and like the youth in the outfield and like the more athletic and rangier players because our team still covers defense unless we get, say, again, Pete Alonso or even a Bregman, then that can really change stuff too, again, for the shape of this lineup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't want to talk about that stuff until we have something to talk about. So obviously, if we trade for Bregman or we sign, if we sign Pete Alonso or if we sign like Jurickson Profar, for example, then we'll talk about that when that is the case to happen there. I do like, though, that the Blue Jays have gone up and done this. And this now moves this along with the Miles Straw trade that we will touch on later. I can see the eye roll there is how a lot of Jays fans feel. But this does push the Blue Jays in now to that second tier of the luxury tax thing. And now that you've crossed into that tier, you got to max it out. There's no point in being like 2% over that luxury tax line if your penalty is the exact same for being 99% up to that luxury tax line. So there is more money coming in to this team. There is going to be another player, whether it's the Alonso, the Profar type guy, or whether it's on the starting pitching, or whether it's an Estevez or another relief arm. More moves are coming, and you don't sign Anthony Santander to this deal unless you are going to put more going forward here. So stay tuned, Blue Jays fans, because there is more coming.
We don't know when, but get your popcorn ready and get on the edge of your seat, because I think right now, after the debacle of this past weekend, they have to go balls to the wall, and like, because a lot of people, I know myself, are calling for Atkins' head after the failure of the Sasaki deal.
Yes, and we will touch more on the Roky Sasaki deal on our next full-length episode here for Buds and Blue Jays, but I have a lot of thoughts on that, and so do you, and we weren't exactly happy. Jesse, this is a first one. This comes from Kenneth Liu on YouTube here. The Blue Jays deferred some of the money that is owed to Anthony Santander, taking a book out of the Dodgers here, and I think I could be wrong, but I think this might be the first time the Blue Jays have deferred money to a guy in free agency, so What are your thoughts on this? The fact that there is some deferred money in this deal.
If this is if it's true and all that, like definitely a first, because I don't remember anyone. Like I didn't even know you could defer money until the Ohtani deal last year with the Dodgers.
Right.
But I feel like this could possibly mean like one of those two or three big bats could be also coming, or arms could be also in the works for the Jays. So maybe that's what it is, to give us a little bit of leeway from that salary, like the luxury, the second tier of the luxury tax, and also because of the straw deal, like maybe help us there. But like I feel like that could possibly mean like there's something in the works that Ross is cooking up. Am I scared? Yes, because we've been hurt way too much. I feel like I'm keep getting like kicked in the nuts anytime I have my like expectations so high. Like I remember this last episode, we were just like, this is our chance, and we were on like cloud nine. Then we just got plummeted to like Dante's Inferno.
Right. Yeah. Don't buy the hype until you actually see something and make it happen. But I agree, Jesse. I'm with you. I think this deferred money means that they have a plan, and I'm looking at a player for a short-term high AAV, and I think it screams Pete Alonso coming to the Blue Jays. I think that might be something that might be coming next, because you always run the chance. You could put Vlad at third base for a few games if you had to, right? The DH spot is still open if you put Santander in left. There's a lot of options here going around. The Blue Jays now, if we get good Vlad and we get a bounce back from Bo Bichette, and if we get, you know, anything left out of George Springer, or if Varsho can learn to square up the baseball more, you don't have to look too hard now to see the Blue Jays actually putting together a competent offense on the field, which would be leaps and bounds better than what happened last year, and might, just might, be able to be enough to get us in that wild card picture.
So you're saying there's a chance?
I'm saying there is a chance. Yes, absolutely here, Jesse. Some minor stuff now on the Anthony Santander signing here. He wore number 25 last year in Baltimore, and I'm not the biggest jersey number guy, but I know it's something that the players care quite a bit about. Dalton Varsho wore number 25 for the Blue Jays last year, so what gives here? Who's going to be wearing number 25 for the Blue Jays next year?
If I was Varsho, I would give it up to maybe to get a fresh start, like, and let him. Where I believe he wore, I think he wore 27 when he was in Arizona, or maybe he wore 25 there. So obviously, if you can't go 27 because we have Vladdy, but I feel like Varsho would give it up for the right price, kind of like what I was thinking Clement would have done with if we got Soto because he went to 22.
If Anthony Santander really wants that number, he can buy Dalton Varsho something nice. I think he's worn 23 in the past too, but that's Jeff Hoffman's New Jersey number. So we will see how this all shakes out. It might be minor news to a lot of other people, but if you're rushing to buy an Anthony Santander Blue Jays jersey, just maybe wait till we know exactly what jersey number he will be wearing in the upcoming season.
Maybe wait till spring training when they see the jerseys.
Right. All that stuff too. I also want to give a big shout out here from the Anthony Santander signing to John Heyman, who has been part of the Blue Jays gripe for the last few years, saying like, oh, the Blue Jays are second in this player. He very noticeably has said any notable free agent player signing with the Blue Jays is, quote, bad for baseball. So shout out to John Heyman, who it probably killed to type out that Anthony Santander was joining the Blue Jays. And I also will help it notice he did not mention who came second for Santander, who the runner-up was. So suck it, John Heyman. That's a personal message from me to you here. And I hope Anthony Santander wrecks any fandom you might have left, John Heyman. So there you go.
You took the words right out of my mouth. I could use some choice words, but I'll keep it polite right here, because if I say what I was really thinking, we might have to put in the rated R on the top.
Yeah, we are a family-friendly show here, and we respect Anthony Santander. It's going to be very exciting to see another Venezuelan player, too, on our roster to go along with Andres Jimenez, who you mentioned earlier, Jose Berríos from Venezuela. So very good.
Puerto Rico for Berríos.
Oh, Puerto Rico. You are right. That is my mistake. That is my bad. In retrospect here, Jesse, like the Santander signing kind of seems obvious. Like he was posting Instagram stories of him playing basketball in Raptors shirts. Wasn't Alek Manoah working out with Santander the other day, whispered something to him or whatever.
Working out with Vladdy.
working out with Vladdy. Like this, I mean, Teoscar Hernandez was working out with Vladdy early in this offseason and he went back to LA, but it's like, it also, you know, it feels like in retrospect, this should have always been the obvious pairing, but until we put pen on paper, none of us could feel easy about this. So I'm glad we can move on. We've got a guy and we can keep going forward.
Oh, definitely. And I kind of wish there was a Winterfest so they could like debut him like to the fans.
Holy shit, yes, I agree.
Like kind of like how the Red Sox did it with Crochet and all that. Like I wish there was a Winterfest that we could go to and be like, and then like his first time playing on the jersey in front of all of us.
Yeah, the Cubs are doing the same thing with Kyle Tucker, and it absolutely kills me the fact we do not have a Winterfest. But story for another day. We do not need to get into that here now. Jesse, I have three fun facts that I've dug up about Anthony Santander, and I thought, you know, this is the time that we can bring those out. So, you ready?
Let's go.
Okay, first one. I've mentioned already this is the first time that the Blue Jays have acquired a player who previously had had 40 or more home runs in a season. So that is pretty cool. Jose Canseco didn't quite get it. Like I said, Troy Gloss wasn't quite there. Frank Thomas wasn't quite there. So that is very, very exciting over that choice. And Jesse, trivia time. Over the last three seasons, who has more extra base hits? Anthony Santander or Juan Soto?
Well, since we're talking about Mr. Santander, I'm going to go with the new Blue Jay.
It was a trick question. They're actually tied. They have the same amount of extra base hits over the last 3 years. But Anthony Santander is not Juan Soto. Juan Soto walks more. You know, he makes more consistent contact. But in terms of just power, slugging, and production, especially at the prices we paid, yeah, Santander is a little bit older too. But like, if this holds up, this is good. I really like that stat here.
Great value.
And I'm going to get to the last one before we get to that last question there. But Davey Andrews, who writes a lot for the Toronto Blue Jays, wrote an article on Fangraphs that I highly suggest everyone go read that said, Anthony Santander just hits the ball foul a lot. Like, a lot, a lot. In fact, last year, he made 36 foul outs in Major League Baseball, which I believe was, yeah, it was the most in baseball last season. Fun fact, Jesse, can you name who was second in baseball in foul outs last year?
I believe, you know, just thinking of it, because we were talking about it, and I think... Mm-hmm. I think my guess was a Dalton Varsho.
It is Dalton Varsho. Yes. Yeah. So he was second. Anthony Santander made 9 more outs in foul territory than Dalton Varsho last year. And I think this speaks to the guys who get under the ball and drive it, because you're going to hit pop-ups in a foul territory sometimes. That'll happen. In fact, his foul outs last season was the second most, or maybe third most. He was 2 behind the leader for most foul outs made in a season, behind Joe Carter in 1977 or 1997 was that year. So a lot of Blue Jays on that list and making outs in foul territory. But so, you know, foul outs do nothing for you. They're not productive outs in any way. But if it takes your chances of making some mashing, I think that's pretty cool for Anthony Santander. I'm very excited. Jesse, did you have a fun fact or something you'd want to share about Santander?
I just am more thinking of like all about the possibilities and all that with Santander there, like just like what he can do with Hawkins and all that. But like the one thing I saw was he had 4 games this year with hitting 2 home runs from one from each side of the plate. And right. The interesting fact about that is he ties Ken Caminiti for the only player to do that. So
that's,
I thought that's
kind of neat. Yep.
Oh, yeah, and, like, you think about it, that's 8 home runs right there just in 4 games. Like, if he did that in a 4-game series, like, we'd be, like, that'd be a player of the week right there.
Yeah, can you remember the other Blue Jays off the top of your head who have hit home runs from both sides of the plates in the same game? I know Justin Smoke did it. Did Kendrys Morales ever do it? I think he might have.
I think he did.
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to think about, like, there's not been many switch hitters in – like that I can, off the top of my head, I can think of.
But like I'm not Cabrera, like, I don't think he ever got there.
I don't think so, but I'm trying to think of other switch hitters. It's hard, like, off the top of my head.
Jose Reyes, never much of a power guy, so.
No, one name that's coming to my mind, but I don't know if he was a switch hitter, but I feel like he screamed it, Jose Cruz Jr.
Yeah, but that's going way back, right? Like, that's...
Yeah, like, I don't know why. Like, that name just comes to my head, like, for that, but I could be completely wrong that he wasn't even a switch hitter.
Yeah, I don't remember off the top of my head either. We have one question. We've kind of touched on it, but Ken wants to know, Jesse, give us, we talked quite a bit about Alonso already, but what do you think about Bregman or Alonso joining this team?
I can definitely say I've been wanting Pete Alonso a lot, like, since this offseason, because I thought it'd be a good addition, and like, especially if you add him and Santana there, there's a scary lineup. Bregman, I was always a fan, even when he was at LSU, I was a fan of him, like, coming up and all that. It fills the need at third, and it means we don't have to put Vladdy at first, and we can possibly slide him in the number two spot behind Springer, then put Bo maybe at five behind Santander, or even slide even Santander at five, Bo three, Vladdy four. Like, there's a lot of possibilities there, but I think the best fit for the team would be Pete Alonso, but I will definitely be happy if we got both of them.
Yeah, I'm very much on the Pete Alonso camp. I'm not huge on the on Alex Bregman. I really never have been. I don't think he's going to age well. I don't think Alonso's going to age that well either, but I think you can have him for 3 years and much cheaper than what Bregman will be for 6 or 7+ years at probably more dollars. So I am in on Alonso as well, if we can get him here. Jesse, one more thought. Tony Taters is Anthony Santander's nickname. Is that now the best nickname the Blue Jays have had in franchise history?
I think it's up there with like the Joey Bats and Captain Kirk and the Big Puma for Manoa and all that. Like, but I just thought of, when you were saying Tony Taters, I just thought of like a meal you could do at the freaking Rogers Center. You go Tony Tater Toss. It'd be like a tater tot poutine or like tater tot nachos.
Yo, I would crush some tater tots down at the Rogers Center this summer if that were to ever happen. That would be fantastic. I was always impartial to the nickname the Mayor of Ding Dong City. When Travis Shaw was here, he wasn't here long, and he got that name better in Boston. But who could forget Ezekiel Carrera was always just Edwin's little buddy. And I know I'm forgetting some nicknames there. Like, there's somebody in the chat can probably remind us of a Blue Jay who had a better nickname, but there's probably a bunch of them.
I'm trying to think of some now. Oh, there's the Milk Man for Melky Cabrera.
Yep, yep, that's a good one.
Bringer of Rain for Donaldson.
That's a classic, yep.
I'm trying to think of it because I'm trying to remember the one they did the Players Week with the jerseys, the nicknames that were on there.
Chicken Strip for Ross Stripling.
Yep. Yeah, there's the Earn Dog for Ernie Clement.
Yep. So there's a lot of good ones. Mr. Seeds for Teoscar Hernandez, if that rings your bell as well here. Jesse, that's it for our Anthony Santander episode. We'll probably get some more information later this week on Anthony Santander. We'll dive a little deeper. We'll let the dust settle a little bit. We'll hear some reports from John Schneider, from Ross Atkins, to see what they have to say about the Anthony Santander signing. I already know that Ross Atkins is going to say something of, yeah, we love the fit. We love the player. Great human, great teammates, et cetera, et cetera. Cause that's what Ross Atkins always does, but we'll talk and we'll react to it on this episode. Any final thoughts on Anthony Santander before we get out of here?
Welcome to the Big Smoke, Tony Taters, and look forward to seeing you when you make your spring training debut. And us here at Buzz and Blue Jay are excited to see you on the season opener when we'll be there live.
Yes, against the Baltimore Orioles, by the way, is who we open up the season against. So you can't. Jeff Hoffman's going to be pissed to pay them. Anthony Santander is getting at them. Take him to the house right now. Anthony Santander is going deep on opening day against Zach Eflin or whoever the hell, Grayson Rodriguez or whoever, or Charlie Morton, whoever the hell the Orioles start on opening day. Anthony Santander is going deep. For Jesse Tricio, I'm Jesse Burrell. Please make sure you set those ring bells. We'll talk more Anthony Santander on our episode on Thursday. But until then, let's go Blue Jays.
Thanks, guys.